Good morning. Good to see you today. Just kind of a quick question. How many of you are already fed up with fireworks? Oh, man. The 4th is over, and they can quit launching them off now. Just an observation. My dog definitely hates it. And she's gone into hiding for the past week, so we'll find her after fireworks are done. Just a couple of quick things. Garden helpers. I still need some garden helpers. We've got to, we really need to get down and get some weeds out of the way. And I also need some help identifying where some of the actual vegetables are, because I'm not sure what I'm looking at in some cases. So just being honest with you. If you can help, if you'd like to help with that, please talk to me. I don't have a day set right now, but I'd like to have people that I can call and see if things work for them. Simply because I don't want to be down there when it's 94 degrees and high humidity. Today is birthday Sunday. We didn't really point that out, but there are treats upstairs. So following the service, please come on up, have a little snack, and just enjoy the birthdays and anniversary celebrations that happened this month. I know they're listed in your bulletin, and maybe you'll see somebody to say happy birthday to. Maybe you'll see, there's Karen. Happy birthday. Month, day, today. Wonderful. You want us to sing to you? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Karen. Happy birthday to you. We love you, Karen. Okay. I guess that's really what I had. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The evidence is overwhelming. We have, without any doubt in our minds, we have been divinely designed, and we've been divinely designed by God. Well, then God said, "Let us make in our image, in our likeness." So God created man in his own image, formed the man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into him the breath of life. We have been also creatively wired. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. From Adam to your life and mine, and everything in between, we have been strategically placed. We have been placed here for just such a time as this. And as we talked about that, we talked about the fact that the world needs Christians more than ever before. And the world needs us to be standing up and to be doing what God's placed us here to do. And that's kind of what we've been looking at the past several weeks as we've been going through a little bit of the book of Genesis. The fact that we are divinely designed, that we are creatively wired. God kind of wired us to follow his pattern, to follow his image. And that we have been placed here for just a time as this. Now, if you don't believe those things, if you don't agree with those things, then my suggestion would be this. Go back and read the word again. Because it's not my word that says this. It's the word of God. And take the time to go back to God's word, because God's word is true. There's nothing in it that's fake. There's nothing in it that's false. There's nothing in it that's wrong. It's all there, and it's true, and it's for us to study. So if you're having a problem with some of these concepts, just go back and read the word and build your life on it. There's very few things I would tell a person to build their life on. But the Bible is one I can say that, and I can be pretty confident if we're able to build our lives on the Word of God, our lives are going to be so much better. God's intention was for us that we be divinely designed, creatively wired, strategically placed. And all of that's true. But yet, there's more. like one of those commercials. But wait, there's more. And we get back into Genesis 2 this morning. And taking a look, and if you're looking and following along, and you've got to Genesis 2, and you're whatever it is you're looking it up on, take a look at chapter 15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." And that was our text last Sunday. That's the one we looked at where the Lord strategically placed Adam, just like he has strategically placed you. Verse 16 is where we kind of begin to break some new ground here. And we begin to discover the divinely designed, the creatively wired and strategically placed man becomes this. He becomes abundantly blessed. And we don't always believe that. We're going to talk about that this morning. The fact that you have been abundantly blessed by God. And sometimes it's hard to follow, but I want you to follow with me this morning as we talk about it, because God hasn't turned his back on anyone. And here's what happened, and when I hear people say, God doesn't love me, God turned his back on me, God doesn't care for me, and what I generally see happening is it's not that God turned his back on anyone, because God's desire is to fill everyone with his love and to be there for everyone and to support everyone and to help people that will let him help. But what happens is instead of God turning his back on us, we turn our back on him. And we say, God, I've had enough. And God says, I'm just about to bring you to the solution. I've had enough. I don't want anymore. I can't take anymore. I can't handle anymore. It's all been piled on me. And God says, but I want to abundantly bless your life. The God of all creation looks down and he says, I want to touch you in a special way. I want to bless your life. Adam was blessed with assurance. Look at verse 17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam was blessed with God's commands. The Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God blessed Adam with company. Verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. Adam was blessed with something important to do. God was good to Adam. He didn't have to be. He maybe knew that he didn't have to be, but he wanted to be. He wanted to be good to Adam. Because you see, love is God's nature. And to be good comes naturally. Our God is a God who loves to bless, and he loves to give, and he loves to spice up our existence. And God created man with the intention of blessing him. And not just blessing him, but abundantly blessing him. And this is what he's trying to say to you. And today, you may not feel that, but God wants to abundantly bless your life. And it may just begin here today with just a word of encouragement from God's word as to how he wants to bless your life. God created man with the intention of blessing him and blessing him abundantly. And there's not a need in Adam's life that God didn't fill. What Adam needed, God provided. What Adam needed most, God provided in abundance. God promises to meet our needs. And sometimes we get mixed up in this because we have a difference. We have needs and then we have wants. God says, I will meet your needs, and I will take care of your needs, and I will take care of you. And then we get upset when he doesn't take care of the wants. I think it was, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think it was Arlo Guthrie sang a song years ago, And some of the words went like this: "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" And you know, that's kind of our mindset. It's, I want better, I want better. And God decided that I should drive a Volkswagen. You know, but we have to say, we want. God says, I will promise, or I will give you your needs, whatever they might be, I will provide them. What Adam needed, God provided. And what he needed most, God provided in abundance. I'm kind of following a little bit in the footsteps of Jesus this morning, and I've come to bring the good news, and there's plenty of it. Our God, and listen to this, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Can you say that with me? Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter how long this planet is here. It doesn't matter how long God delays the return of his son, Jesus Christ. Is still God, and he's still the same. And what he did for Adam and all the others throughout history and the blessings he gave them, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to do that for us, and he does do that for us. He desires to bless, and he's able to bless. He longs to bless your life with what you need the most. And he's still able to provide in abundance. God created mankind with the intention of blessing abundantly. But sometimes we don't feel blessed, do we? If we're really honest. And you may be here today and you may say, I don't feel very blessed. You know what? Life stinks. I came to church today because I was hoping to see something where a little bit better. Life stinks. Life is hard. I don't feel very blessed. And then, Pastor, you get up and you tell me that God wants to bless my life and he's blessing my life. Yeah, I am. Why? Because God's word says it. And if it says it, I believe it, that settles it. There's no argument. Sometimes, and even myself, sometimes I don't feel so blessed. And sometimes I know that I don't act blessed. Sometimes I don't talk like I'm blessed. Maybe you don't have any, okay? But I'll tell you what, folks, I got problems. Things that befuddle me. You know what befuddle means? Or to be befuddled, it means to be confused or perplexed. You have a couple of those things maybe floating around somewhere in your life, and sometimes because of it, you just don't always feel blessed. I don't mind telling the truth. Sometimes I don't feel that way. And then I have to come back to the Word of God and get back into reality. Now, this is really, really master's level stuff, okay? I'm not there. I'm still trying to get to the level, let's say, of James in the Bible. And James, you know, apparently he's there because he wrote this. He says, consider it pure joy. Not just joy, but pure joy, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. When I face trials, when I'm in the valleys, when I'm struggling, when I'm wondering about what the next day is going to bring, I don't feel very blessed. But according to Jim, I am. Trials can bless my life with perseverance. They bless my life with maturity, with wisdom. Sometimes we don't feel blessed because we don't know what to look for. The blessing maybe is disguised. When that happens, let's go back to the original blueprint, back to Genesis, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. God blessed abundantly. He can do that. And he possesses the resources, the ability, and the willingness to bless abundantly. In fact, one time he called a preacher to tell the world to test God in this area of abundant blessing. And this preacher, and he says, see if he, being God, would not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that he would not have enough room for it all. The preacher's name was Malachi. And the sermon is found in Malachi chapter 3, if you ever want to read it. God has desired to bless humankind abundantly from the beginning. And one of the most important blessings that God has given are his commands. And we see it for the first time in Genesis 2:17. God says, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it? Adam is given one. No. Just one. That's it. You have everything else. All you need is provided. It's not going to be too hot. It's not going to be too cold. The humidity's not going to be bad. You're going to walk with the animals and the plants, and everything that you need in your life is going to be provided. There's only one thing, and one thing that I'm telling you that I don't want you to do, Adam, and stay away from that tree. Do not eat that fruit. One thing. And instead of feeling blessed and the abundant joy and the pure joy that can come, he walked with God in the garden. How many here would love to just literally take a stroll through your favorite spot with God right beside you? Physically there. He walked with God. He had it all. And the blessings were poured out. But one thing, Adam. You know what? We look at it and we don't see just one thing that he doesn't want us to do. We start seeing a whole bunch of things he doesn't want us to do. And what do? We do those things we do not want to do. Getting confused? We don't do what we should. Adam got confused, and yeah, we got a whole nother woman thing coming in there. But listen, folks, Adam agreed. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. You know, there are things that we want to hear, and there's things that we need to hear. And every parent knows what I'm talking about. Every son or daughter knows what I'm talking about. We want to hear Genesis 2:16. You're free. You are free, and this is all for you, and it's all here. You are free, and we want to hear that. And go ahead and do everything you want. And then we need to hear some things. And the need to hear things are the things we struggle with. Genesis 2:17, but you must not. Dennis, you can do whatever you want, but you must not. And God included both from the very beginning. God communicated both the do's and the don'ts for healthy living and for a happy existence. And it's when we get out of line with that, when we start doing more don'ts than we do do's, why is that funny? But it is. When things aren't in sync, we have problems. Something passes through the mind of Christians from time to time. Why did God put some no's into the Christian experience? Why the Ten Commandments? Come on, God. I might be able to hit on one or two, but really? I don't think I'm going to murder anybody, so I think I like that one. 10 of them? I wonder sometimes, I'm not going to do it, but I wonder sometimes how many could sit here and quote all 10 of the commandments. By the way, they're not suggestions. So how are we going to obey them if we don't know them? And the reason we don't know them is because it's easy to ignore them until it rolls around and says, oh, wait a minute, I know. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not covet. You know, and all of these different things, when they come around, maybe we'll remember them. So God, why the big 10? And why, this is the one I had, why did my church stand for what they stood for when I was growing up? Why did they stand for what they stood for anyway? See, I grew up in a church where I was taught there were some things that you couldn't do, there were some places that you shouldn't go, and there were some words that you didn't say. It didn't make sense to me. Well, what do you mean there's things I can't do? Now, I better be careful. I could get in trouble. Of some of the things they said that I couldn't do, I'll be honest with you. I said, you're nuts. I'm going to do it. Imagine that. One of the things that you couldn't do, it was taboo. And I'm telling you, you were going to be in big trouble if you did. Do not go to a dance. Dancing's of the devil. Don't go to a dance. Junior high rolled around. We had our first junior high dance, and I snuck out from home and went to it anyway. And I was really waiting to get struck down. Didn't happen. Things that you couldn't do. Don't go to movies, because movies are of the devil. What? You know what? The first movie I ever saw was Mary Poppins. I don't get it. Why did they believe that way? Things that you couldn't do. Oh, my goodness. And when you come to church on Sunday morning, you put that little suit on the best you can put it on, and you make sure that Saturday night you polished your shoes and that they were all nice and shiny, and that when you walked into church you just looked like a little saint. Man, I wanted blue jeans and a t-shirt. And when I was old enough, guess what I wore to church? Blue jean and t-shirt. And guess how many looks I got? I got home and my mom said, I can't believe you wore that. Do you know how many people said something to me about that? I said, nobody said anything to me. It's the thoughts. There's some things that you couldn't do. There's some places that you shouldn't go. There's a little common sense there. And I still went to those places as I got older. We don't need to go into specifics. And I'll be honest, to this day, some of them I wish I hadn't gone to. Words that you just didn't say. I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything, but I really listened to that thing about words that you didn't say, and I was in ninth grade before I used my first cuss word. That's the truth. And I thought when I threw that first cuss word out there, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but when I threw it out there, I thought for sure I was going to get struck down. Oh, man, I can't believe I said that. Kid, it made me mad. And what he had done is I was walking down a flight of stairs and he jumped from the top of the stairs and kicked me in the back, trying to knock me down the stairs. And that made me mad. And after I said the word that I shouldn't have said or the words that I shouldn't have said, I beat the pulp out of him. That wasn't a nice thing for him to do. That story goes on. I won't get into it. It's interesting. The older I get, the better the view. Things that I couldn't see then, I can see now. God didn't tuck a few no's in there to kill the joy of my life. He wanted to keep the joy in my life. And I suppose the list is endless of those things that we think about where God works in us and where we can just think of the blessings that maybe didn't first think were blessings. And I spent just a little bit of time this week on the sermon thinking about this. And there's four things that came to me on why God, you know, kind of tucked a few thou shalt nots in Scripture. And this was for me. One of the things that I have is that it was to keep me free. And I know the rules. And those things that I'm free to do. I know the rules. And I also know the things that I shouldn't do because that's breaking the rules. And you know what? That's life and that's society. I am free to enjoy this life. I am free to follow God. I'm free to do what I want to do. I am free to be a part of God's kingdom. He put some of the shalt nots in there to use me totally. Because you see, if I'm following the rules as I'm supposed to, He's got purpose for my life. And He wants to use me, and he wants me to be with Him and Him with me, and there's joy in it. Number three, He wants to protect me from painful consequences and enemy attacks. How many of you think you have an enemy in this world? Yeah, I do. I have some people that just, they don't want to see me. They don't want to hear from me. They don't want to talk to me. And some of them that don't mind coming right up to me and blasting me in the face with insults. But God protects me. He protects me from letting those things destroy me. And He also, number four that I had, just quick thoughts, is He put the nose in there to keep me from guilt, to keep me from shame, to keep me from regret. That's pretty honest. It's not an exhaustive list, but you know, it's enough to see the wisdom. You know, like Adam, we're blessed with abundance. We're blessed with God's commands. You know what else? We're also blessed with company. God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. God created company for man, for friendship, for fellowship, for partnership. He said it's not good to be alone. And here's three life partners no one can live without. We need someone, we all need someone to fuel our faith and to heighten our hope. We all need someone to come alongside and say, you know what, God's going to see you through this, and I'm going to be here with you, and I'm going to walk with you and talk with you and help you to understand what God is trying to say to you. And when you're weak, I'll be there to just give you whatever hope I can. You need people to help you strengthen your faith, because sometimes faith is weak. Sometimes we feel weak and we feel like faith has been overthrown. You need somebody there to heighten your hope or to liven up our love. God gave some of us a partner in marriage. And God is still shaping a marriage partner for others that might be here. And for some of us, marriage really isn't God's plan. But it's not good to be alone, not for any of us. And God blesses our lives with friends, and He wants us to enjoy community. He wants us to enjoy life together. All of us need each other, especially to fuel our faith, to heighten our hope, and to liven our love. And so from the very beginning, God blessed humankind. He blessed you with abundance. You're free. He blessed you with commands, you must not. He blessed you with company, not good to be alone. And finally, God blessed Adam with something important to do. He made some of us to be introverts, and some of us extroverts. He wired some of us to be initiators and some of us to be finishers. He gifted some of us with wonderful voices and some of us with attentive ears. We are all different folks because God loves variety. You know what? He hasn't even duplicated a fingerprint. Do you ever think about that? How can they use fingerprints and they all come up different? Well, that's the way God designed it. We're different. And we've all been blessed with something important to do while here on earth. God blessed us that way. Now, this morning, maybe you don't feel blessed. I've already said that. But you don't have to leave here feeling the same way you came in. You don't. All you have to do is to begin to look at those things where God blessed. By the way, God would really like for us to feel like we're not blessed. Because when we feel like we're not blessed, that's that point where we say, okay, God, why did you fail me? Okay, God, why did you let me down? We feel like we're not blessed. That's the point where we say God left and this, and really the truth is we leave him because we're going over here and we're looking for our own answers. We're looking for our own solutions. I can fix this. I can fix this. No, you can't. If you could fix it, it would already be fixed. But if you trust the God who can, it will be taken care of. Because God's desire is to bless and to bless you. And his desire is that you would be abundantly blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come to your house, and it is a blessing just to be here with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a blessing, Father, to know that you have given us all that we need, that you have provided companionship through friends or spouses or relatives. It's a blessing to know, Father, that you provide all of our needs. Father, it's a blessing to know that you comfort us, that you give us things to do. What a blessing it is, Lord, just to be able to talk to you right now. And even as we are in a time of prayer, our voices are being lifted to heaven, that you hear every word that is being spoken. Father, you look down and you see every heart here this morning, and you know those who are struggling, and you know those who maybe are questioning the blessings that you give. But Father, you're looking down and you're saying, I want to bless you abundantly. And your abundant blessing, Father, we receive that in so many ways. How we thank you. So Father, my prayer is that as we would go from here, that we would remember that. You created us with that in mind. Going all the way back as we see in the beginning of time how you blessed man. And you have continued because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you. And so, Father, I just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.